So let me ask you this question. Have you ever felt like you were an outsider? You ever felt like you were in a situation where you just didn't quite fit in? You know, for me, I can think of a couple of times in my life specifically where it was just awful. I'm going to be honest. Middle school. Anybody remember middle school? The worst 3 years, or for some of you, 5 years of your lives, right? Just terrible. Like, your body's going through all kinds of weird changes, and wires are all mixed up, and processes are all wrong in your brain. Like, you don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what you're doing, right? And kids are mean. Like, truly, kids are cruel in middle school. Like, and I can look back on it now, and I praise God, because there's a lot of kids who, unfortunately, they don't come through middle school very well off. But I praise God that I got through middle school and I ended up okay. I think about kids now, they have to deal with social media and the things they've got to deal with, right? You don't just feel like an outsider when you're at school sometimes. Now you feel like an outsider when you're in your own home because of stuff like that, right? It's very, very difficult. I also never forget, high school was good. I got through high school. High school was great. And then I went to college, and I had some more moments where I kind of felt like an outsider. As a Christian who was trying to follow Jesus, going to a very, very worldly, secular, public college, I felt very, very out of place many, many times. And I don't share this with a whole lot of people because I don't think it's that big of a deal. But like, I have never had a drop of alcohol in my life. I'm almost 40 years old. And I've made that decision and that choice for a variety of reasons, some family history primarily being the main reason. But going to college and being somebody who wasn't engaging in a lot of the party life that was going on there was very difficult. And I did not feel like I was part of the crowd, part of the in-group a lot of times. And if you've ever felt that way, and I would venture to guess everybody in the room has felt like that at least once in your life, right? Where you just didn't feel like you fit in. And I think all of us can agree, like there's something about not feeling like you belong that's kind of crushing to a person's spirit. And I think that's because we want to, like as human beings, like we want to be part of a community. We want to be part of something. There's something inside of us, I think, that's kind of wired to want to belong, right? And when you don't feel like that, it can be really damaging. And so as we begin today, we're continuing in our series, just simply called Mark, where we're studying through the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be picking back up in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. I encourage you to turn there today. As I was studying this out this week, I was thinking a lot about this idea of fitting in and belonging, and whether you're an outsider or an insider. And I got to thinking about my Savior, Jesus, and the great lengths that he went to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to be an insider, to not feel like they're on the outside looking in. And that's what I want to talk about today. I believe this is going to be a powerful, powerful message today. This account that we're going to read as we're continuing in Mark here is one of my favorite passages of scripture in all of the Bible. I think it's one of the most powerful and compelling pieces of literature on the planet. And it's more than that. It's more than just a piece of literature. This is the Word of God. Mark put this in here. Several of the gospel writers put this in here because I believe there is so much we can learn, not just about our Savior, but about how much our Savior cares about us and his desire for us. So let's dive into this today. When we left off, Jesus was heading out of Capernaum. We learned this last week. Jesus has set up shop, his kind of ministry base, if you will, in this city called Capernaum, which is one of the largest cities on the Sea of Galilee. It's where Peter has his home and his fishing business. It's where Matthew, the tax collector, who we're going to get to in a few weeks, has set up his tax collecting business. There's a Roman garrison there, which is just a military base, basically. It's a very prominent city. And Jesus does a whole bunch of miracles in the city, a whole bunch of healings, And he decides we've got to move on because his mission is not to just heal. We talked about this last week. Encourage you to go listen to last week's message if you missed that or any of the previous weeks. But his mission is to preach the gospel. It's to go from town to town and tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus and his disciples, they head out from Capernaum to go preach the gospel. And this is where we're going to pick up. It says, then a man with leprosy came to him and on his knees begged him, if you are willing, he says, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, it says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Jesus said, I am willing. Be made clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Then he sternly warned him and sent him away at once, telling him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet he went out and began to proclaim it widely and to spread the news with the result that Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. But he was out in deserted places and they came to him from everywhere. All right, so let's unpack this. First of all, Mark begins this account by simply saying this, a man with leprosy. A man with leprosy. And in order for us to fully understand how powerful this moment is, we must understand this disease of leprosy. So the word leprosy actually comes from the Greek word lepros. It's the Greek word lepros, and all it means is scale. And so the reason it's called that, leprosy, is because it is a skin disease. It is a skin defilement. And so when you get leprosy, what happens is your skin begins to look scaly as it begins to deteriorate. Now, there's some things we need to understand about this disease, leprosy. Leprosy actually comes in many, many different forms. There's all different types of leprosy, but the specific form that most people understand and know about, the kind that is talked about in the Bible, is actually something that is, leprosy is actually still a disease. It's actually known now as Hansen's disease. People can still actually get this disease. Now, of course, because of modern medicine, we're able to fix that now. But at that time, you could not be cured from this disease. Let me tell you about how horrible leprosy was. First and foremost, oftentimes we think of leprosy as being this, just this skin disease. It's just this outer thing. But the most terrifying and deadly part of leprosy was that what it did is it attacked your central nervous system and it rendered you unable to feel. Couldn't feel anything. And so what would happen to many people with leprosy is that they would break a bone and they would never know it. And they'd literally be walking around on that bone for days or weeks or even months. And you can imagine what that did to them. Eventually, it would kill them. It would get infected. And they would die from that. You could touch something extremely hot, pick up a hot coal, and not even know that your hand was burning. Or you could get a cut or a bruise and not know that it was really all that severe or bad. Why? Because you couldn't feel it. It was a terrible, terrible disease. Not only that, they did have all of these sores on their body. A lot of times those sores would actually be on the face. That's where most of the sores would actually be. And not only did they have those sores that were just kind of grotesque and difficult to look at, but they would also have just an absolutely horrible smell. I mean, just a stench that you could smell coming from a long way off. And so the reality of leprosy was this. If you were in any way, in those days, thought that you might have leprosy, this is what the law said. The law said you must go to the priest. You must have the priest examine you. And if it's deemed that you might have leprosy, you have to essentially quarantine for 7 days. Go off by yourself for 7 days. We're going to see how this thing develops. After 7 days, if you came back to the priest and they said, okay, it looks like it's getting a little bit worse, you had to go and you had to quarantine for another 7 days. If after that 7 days you came back to the priest and they told you that it was leprosy, they deemed it's leprosy, You then were banished from all community. You were kicked out of your town, you were kicked out of your home, and you were forced to live in a leper colony, away from all people. The only other people you could be around would be other lepers. And so this disease of leprosy, this is really what I want you to see as we get started here this morning. It was not just a disease that destroyed the body. It destroyed the soul. It destroyed the spirit. It crushed people emotionally. Imagine you get this disease. You can't see your wife and kids anymore. You can't hang out with your friends. You've got to quit your job. You are completely cut off. You are completely separated from the life that you once knew and every person that you have ever loved or cared about. You are no longer allowed to have any contact with them. Not only that, this actually, it was written in the Old Testament law that if you got this, they called it a defiling skin disease in the Old Testament. If you got a defiling skin disease, you had to cover yourself up, wrap yourself up with these wrappings and cover up the lower part of your mouth so that if anybody saw you coming, they would know immediately that you had leprosy. And as you walked along, you had to yell out, scream out, just to think about how humiliating this would be. Unclean! Unclean! So that nobody would come near you. You were not allowed within 50 paces of another human being that didn't have leprosy. It was completely isolating. It is the disease of loneliness in many ways. It was absolutely awful. And the worst part about it, there was no cure. And because there was no cure, there was no hope. No hope whatsoever. And so as we think about that, the context of that, right, the devastation, the emotional, spiritual, physical devastation that a person would have been going through, it is with that in mind that I want to unpack this text. It says, Then a man with leprosy came to him and on his knees begged him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. All right, so let's just imagine the scene. Jesus and his disciples, they're traveling from some town to another town, getting ready to do more ministry, getting ready to preach the gospel. And they've probably, most likely, I want you to imagine this, envision this with me. They've probably gathered somewhat of a large crowd. You know, he's got his 12 disciples. He might have another 20, 30, 50, 100 people, I don't know, following. And they're just waiting because they've been hearing the rumors about Jesus. They know he's doing miracles. He's healing people. He's teaching all kinds of amazing things. And they're just waiting for the next moment. And they start following Jesus along. And all of a sudden, off in the distance, you see this man just kind of hobbling along, getting closer and closer. And all of a sudden, you look and you realize, man, he's got his face covered. I don't know. Right? And as he gets closer, I mean, the man just starts to pick up pace and he gets closer and closer to Jesus. And all of a sudden, I want you to imagine the crowd recognizes, dude, this guy's got leprosy. He's got leprosy. We need to, and I just imagine, they're probably like, whoa, back up. Everybody back up. Hold up. And I want you to picture Jesus. Because I don't think Jesus backed away at all. I think Jesus went right toward this man. And as his disciples probably grabbed his arms and pulled him back, tried to pull his, Jesus, no! You can't go near him. He's unclean. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You can't go near this man. Jesus slowly walks towards him. And as this man gets closer and closer and closer, finally way closer than he was allowed to be by the law, he drops to his knees and he begins to beg Jesus, please, I know if you're willing, you can make me clean, Jesus. You can take this affliction away from me. You, Jesus, can give me my life back. I just imagine the crowd just gasping. How dare he? Who does he think he is? He can't do that. And I just love this. Here's some things I want us to see about this man before we get into Jesus' response. Number one, I love his boldness. No, he's not supposed to go anywhere near a person. That's the law. That's what the law says. But what does this man recognize? There's something different about this Jesus. There's something different about the way he operates. I've heard some things about what he does, and I believe if I get near him, he can change everything. And I don't care what any man or person says. I don't care that the crowd's gasping. I don't care that they're all yelling at me, screaming at me, telling me to get away from him. I need to get to Jesus because I know he's the only one who can save me, who can help me. Man, I love that boldness. But I also want us to see his humility. What does he do? The second he gets to Jesus, he drops to his knees. And what does he say? If you are willing. That's not a statement of demand, is it? That's a statement saying, look, I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm unclean. And sadly, here's the sad truth. In those days, if you got leprosy, if you got any kind of disease, frankly, the religious people believed that you must have some kind of deep-seated sin in your life to have gotten that disease. And while maybe it's true, sometimes our deep sin does lead to really awful things in our life. But there are many times it's just the cause of a fallen world. This man hasn't done anything sinful to get leprosy. Is he a sinner? Yeah. But it's not directly correlated to his leprosy. Right? And so we need to recognize and understand that when he comes to him, though, he believes that. That's what everybody's been telling him. Dude, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You got leprosy? What sin do you have in your life, man? You better get your act together. That's why you're sick. That's why you're ill. Right? And so what does he do? He drops to his knees. He recognizes he is a sinner. Right? But there's this deep-seated, unhealthy thing going on, right? Because of the way society and culture has made him feel. But I love his humility. I love the way he just drops to his knees and he says those words. If you are willing, Jesus, I know you can make me clean. And that's the third thing I want us to see about this man, his faith, his trust in Jesus. Most likely he's never met Jesus before. This is the first time. This is the first time he's encountering him. But he's heard. He's heard the stories. And he believes. He believes deep down in his core that Jesus can do something about this issue. He recognizes he's his only hope. And so what does he do? He says, Jesus, if you are willing, man, make me clean. Change my life today. And what I love so much about Jesus is this. By the letter of the law, Jesus has every right to tell this guy to take a hike. He does. By the Mosaic law, he's got every right to tell this guy to take a hike. Beat it, man. You're not supposed to be anywhere near us. Right? Not only are you breaking the Mosaic law, you're breaking social norms, you're breaking medical procedure, you're endangering all of these people because leprosy could be spread through touch and through the air, which is the reason that they didn't want them close to other people. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't push him away. He doesn't get so legalistic to the law that he says, no, I'm not going to be anywhere near you. I'm not going to heal you today. This is what it says he does. Man, I love this. It says, moved with compassion. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. I am willing, he told him. I am willing. Be made clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. I want to talk about that word compassion for just a second. Some translations actually say indignant. Jesus was indignant. And those two words don't really seem to go together. How can two translations sound so different? Well, the reality is this is what compassion is. Compassion is being frustrated and upset and angry at somebody's plight and the situation that they are in and being so frustrated that you want to do something about it for them. That's what compassion is looking at somebody else and going, I don't want them to deal with this. And so in this moment, here's what Jesus is looking at him saying in compassion, and he's indignant and he's like, the sin of this world has just jacked this thing up so bad. This guy's life has been ruined. And Jesus is sickened by it. He can't stand it. And so when he looks at this man, he looks at him with compassion in his eyes. He says, I don't want this guy to have to continue to go through his life being separated and isolated, living through the physical pain that he's living through. Right? He's not angry at this man because he has leprosy. He's angry at what it's doing to him, on the toll that it's taking on this man. And he grieves for his spirit. Grieves for him. You know, the truth is this, is that sin, just as a whole, in general, because of the fall, man, it is having a physical and an emotional toll on every single one of us to some degree. It is. That's what sin does. It destroys, separates us from God. And so Jesus he's frustrated with this. He's upset with this. And so like Jesus often does, he does something about it. And I want us to see this today. He does something unthinkable. What does this text tell us? He reaches out and he touches him. Don't miss the significance of this. Jesus could have very easily, we know this, we have already seen his power exercised in the first chapter of Mark. He could have simply said with a word, be healed, and he would have been healed. That's the power of God. He didn't need to touch him. He touches him to make a point to everyone who is watching. I mean, think about it for a second. Think about, again, the context of leprosy. You can transmit this disease through touch. It could spread to other people. Not only that, but from a religious standpoint, from the Jewish religious standpoint, you are now, if you touch a leper, you are unclean. You're not clean anymore. You're spiritually unclean. And this is the Messiah who reaches out and touches him. And this is what I want us to see. He was willing to touch those that no one else would. Nobody else would have touched this man. Jesus was willing to do that. Why? To prove a point. That when Jesus touches something unclean, he don't become unclean. That thing becomes clean. Come on now. That's what Jesus does. He makes unclean things clean again. He touches this man, and what does it say? Immediately, the leprosy left him. Immediately, he becomes clean. And in an instant, this man gets his life back. Like he doesn't just get his physical life back. The sores are gone. He can touch things. He can feel things again. All of a sudden, he can feel the touch of Jesus. Can you imagine how amazing that must have felt after who knows how long? No physical touch, no human contact. This dude hadn't been hugged in who knows how long. Can you imagine? I can go hug my wife and kids again. I can go back to my home. I can go back to my job. I get my life back. Like, this is so much more than just healing this guy's physical body. This is everything to this man. In an instant, he got his life back. And so at this point, you know, Mark could have ended the story right there. I mean, mic drop, right? Like, amazing. But he adds some text here that I think is really important for us to understand today. And there's a reason Mark puts it in here. He goes on. He heals him. This guy is healed. And he says this, and starting in verse 43, then he sternly warned him. In other words, he commanded him. It wasn't a request. He sternly warns him and sends him away, telling him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet he went out and began to proclaim it widely and to spread the news, with the result that Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. But he was out in deserted places, and they came to him from everywhere. And so there's two things here that Jesus instructs this man who had leprosy to do. Number one, he tells him not to tell anybody. Don't tell a soul. Don't tell anyone. Why would Jesus do that? Isn't Jesus trying to get his message out to as many people as possible? Well, yes, he is. But this is the reality of where Jesus is at in the timeline of his ministry. He needs to be able to continue to preach the good news of the gospel. Remember what we talked about last week. Why did he come? To preach the good news. And if this leper goes and starts telling everybody on the planet that they can be healed of their leprosy and they can be healed of their diseases, they're going to come from everywhere and they're going to mob him. And he's not going to be able to do all that he really wants to be able to do. It's going to be much more difficult. It's going to be much more challenging. Remember, he had to leave Capernaum and go out into kind of the wilderness, away from the town, because he already was like a rock star in Capernaum. And so if this man goes out in the wilderness and where he lives and starts telling everybody, it's going to be the same thing there. And so Jesus instructs this man, don't do that. We're going to come back to that one in a minute. But he also gives him a second instruction. And for us, again, context is so important. He tells him to go and see the priest, which seems to us like a very unusual thing to do. Why does he need to do that? He's already healed. Why does he need to go see the priest? I just saw Jesus. What do I need to see a priest for? Right? Well, because in those days, this was the law. The Mosaic law said, if you became clean, you thought you were healed, in the same way that you went to the priest in the beginning to find out if you had this disease, you must now go back and you must have the priest tell you, you are now clean. And you would go through this ritual of washing, and they would cut their hair and shave their beards and do this whole process of cleansing. And then the priest would look at them and he would say, okay, now you are made clean. Why does Jesus do that? I think it's really simple. While Jesus, I so believe this, he despised the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the way that they just legalistically held to the law. You know, telling him, you can't heal on the Sabbath. What? First of all, I created the Sabbath, right? Jesus would say, I created the Sabbath. I can heal on the Sabbath. That's nonsense. So he can't stand the hypocrisy of that kind of legalistic mindset. But what he absolutely wants people to know is he's still about the law. He upholds the law of Moses. He didn't come to abolish the law, right? And so he wants them to see that. And not only that, what does he say? It says, so that it is a testimony to them. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded for your cleansing as what? As a testimony to them. Who's them? The religious elite. And what is this testimony that it is going to show them? That Jesus has power over the most incurable, devastating disease on the planet. With a word and a touch, he healed this man. Go and show yourself to the religious elite. Show them who I am, right? So he wanted them to see that. He wants these religious elite to know that. Now, we don't know. Mark doesn't give us this information, right? Because we know this. Mark's moving through the information quickly. He didn't give us all as much detail as Luke or Matthew. We don't know. If this guy went and actually listened and went to the priest, Doesn't say. But what we do know is that this guy did not listen to Jesus' instruction. Do not tell anyone. I was thinking about this morning. You know, when you tell a little kid, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, a secret that's like, I mean, it's a big one, like their brother's birthday gift or whatever. And you're like, hey, you promise me you're not going to tell anybody, okay? Like, if you tell them, you're going to ruin the surprise, right? And immediately they're like, oh yeah, of course I won't tell anybody. And 5 minutes later, they're like, oh my gosh, I got to tell somebody. I got to pee so bad. I got to tell somebody. Please, please, can I just tell somebody? This is too good not to share. But I imagine that's what this man is feeling, right? He's just been healed. Not only physically, but emotionally, spiritually, he's been given his life back. He's desperate to tell somebody, anybody. And so what does he do? Let's be honest. I think he does what most of us would do. He opens his big fat yapper and he just starts telling everybody. And the exact thing that Jesus did not want to happen happens. Look what it says. But he was out in deserted places and they came to him from everywhere. Like people just started coming from all over the place, right? To come and see this Jesus. And this is what I want us to see. From that moment forward, I mean, there was nowhere Jesus could go where there weren't crowds. And specifically, it was very difficult for him to go back into any legitimate city or town where there were a lot of people. And I don't want us to miss this. So all of a sudden, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah, he can't go into the city anymore. And guess who can? The leper. And essentially what's happening in this moment is this. Jesus is trading places with him. And all of a sudden, this leper who was an outsider, who was cast out, is now an insider again. And he gets to go back into the city and he gets to go back to his normal life and he gets to enjoy his family. And Jesus is now an outsider. He can't go into the town anymore. And this is just, man, when this hit me this week, you want to talk about a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is it today. Jesus became an outsider so that we could become insiders. That's what he does on the cross. Come on now. Let me say it again. Jesus became an outsider so that we could become insiders. This man gets his life back because Jesus was willing to sacrifice his own life, himself, his needs, his wants, his desires. This is what our King does. This is who our Jesus is, right? As sinners, come on, look at the analogy here. Every one of us, spiritual lepers, we were. Those of us who were in Christ now were once spiritual lepers, afflicted with the disease of sin and doomed with no hope for our future. We were done. We were finished. We were isolated from our Heavenly Father, isolated from the kingdom of God. And what does Jesus do? Comes down here, leaves his throne in heaven, goes to the cross, puts himself in isolation from his Heavenly Father, goes to the cross and pays the penalty for our sin, makes himself an outsider so that we can become an insider. And so this is the message today. To those who would boldly come, like this leper, right? Who would boldly come, boldly, humbly, in faith, and say, if you are willing, Jesus, make me clean. You know what Jesus says? Every time, I am willing. I am willing. Every time he says that. Jesus, if you'll make me clean, I know you can do it. Please do it. Make me clean. I got sin in my life. I got baggage. I got stuff that's happened to me. Heal me. And Jesus says, I am willing. And just like this leper, immediately we are made clean. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what I want us to see today is I just want us to see the incredible compassion of Jesus. I want us to understand his willingness to sacrificially put our needs above his own. And I want to challenge us to do two things as we leave this place today. See, our response, I believe, should be exactly the same as this leper. It should be exactly the same. Number one, all of us should be seeking to be made clean by him, by our Heavenly Father. If you have never sought him out, if you have never put your faith in him, man, make today the day. Seek him out, because this is what I know about Jesus, and this breaks my heart. I have met so many people in this life who believe they cannot walk into a church because they're too dirty. They believe they can't be around other Christians. They can't be welcomed into the family of God because they got too much sin in their life. They've done too many wrong things, too many bad things. And sadly, sometimes I think even as Christians, what happens is here's what we do. We're like, no, get back. Just like they did to Jesus when the leper was coming forward towards him. They're like, no, get back. Keep him at arm's length. Go get clean first and you can come and hang out with us. Jesus is running towards that person. Over and over again, he's moving towards them, not away from them. And so if that's you today, if you've ever felt that today, go to him, run to him, drop to your knees, and do exactly what this leper did. Jesus, I know if you are willing, you can make me clean, and he will. And he will welcome you into the family, and it will happen immediately. And your sins will be forgiven, and what an amazing truth that is. Seek him out, right? Seek to be made clean. But then number two, what did the leper do after that happened? He went and told everyone. And I know in this context, he wasn't supposed to do that. What's ironic about that is Jesus just cleansed him, forgave him, gave him his life back. And what did he do? He literally turned around and sinned 2 seconds later. But isn't that just a perfect picture of what we are as human beings, right? Like, that's what we do. But in Matthew 28, do you know what Jesus tells his disciples? We live in a different time. We're not the leper, right? We live in a different time. Jesus says, go into all the world and tell them about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go and tell everybody you can. We should be just like this leper. If Jesus has done something in our life, if he has transformed us, if he has changed us, if any real life change has happened, we shouldn't be able to contain it. We should be like that kid who's got the secret, who knows his brother's birthday present and just can't wait to tell as many people as possible. That should be us. And I question this. Truly, I do. And this is going to be a piercing question that you need to ask yourself. If that's not your mentality, if you're not excited to tell people about what Jesus has done in your life, I want to know why. Why not? Come on, it's the greatest news that you could ever share with somebody, right? It's one of our core values here. Share Jesus. Go tell as many people as you possibly can. Let your life be a reflection of what Jesus has done in you. Love people the way that he did. Show them the kind of compassion that he did. If we're not living that out, man, I don't get it. Why? Nothing should hold us back from that. And so today, as we close, I want to say it one more time. Jesus became an outsider so that we could become insiders. And there should never be a day that goes by that we don't reflect on that, remember that, and allow it to just drive everything we do in our lives. I don't know about you, but man, I get overwhelmed when I think about what Christ has done for me. That, man, I was the worst of lepers, so lost. And he chose to redeem me. He chose to come to me, to put his hand on me, to say, you are clean. Amen?